Chapter 51. "This is bad, man," PFC Unger said. He was searching for a fresh magazine among the Space Force techs who had died defending the array. When he was unable to find anything he could use in his own rifle, he reluctantly set it down to pry an M4 with a half-full magazine from the hands of the dead. "I know," replied Tran. "Keep it going." Reach, overhearing the conversation, pinged First Sergeant Nash. "We're almost blank on ammo."
"Roger, you ain't alone. Searching casualties. I'll get you what we can find."
"First Sergeant's looking for more," Reach said, looking back toward the enemy. He saw a Rupak soldier readying a grenade.
"Down!"
Reach sent a round into the soldier's neck, but not before he'd thrown the grenade. Reach quickly recalibrated, following the arc of the weapon. But it was Brody who took it down with his shotgun as though shooting at a clay target. Stopping grenades from reaching defensive positions had occupied most of Reach's time. With Brody's and Alexa's abilities, along with Reach's enhancements, they were able to stop most of them. But the few that got through had taken a toll, especially on the unarmored Space Force techs and Osei. It seemed to Reach as though they were only prolonging the inevitable. Ammunition was low, men were dying. And though Rupak paid a heavy price for their push, they had the numbers to finish the job. Captain Bosa, his rifle out of ammunition, walked along the perimeter with his 9mm in hand, ready to use it should any Rupak get close enough. He had just relayed the news that Sherman was able to send in his additional batchers. That would help, if they arrived in time. "The taking of that ship is likely what has caused this direct operation," Alexa said. "Any slaughter of the Osei would leave them vulnerable to counterattack before it could be finished, as would a withdrawal to recover their only way off planet."
Bosa grunted. "So they want to take us down, grab you, and then retake the ship?"
"It would appear so."
"I hate to break it to you," boomed Brody, "but it looks like their plan is working."
An inhibitor round struck the AI in the chest, and he froze in place until Liana knocked it away and destroyed it.
"Gah!" Brody shouted. "Why can't they shoot at Alexa just one time?"
"Because I don't look like a giant walking robotic death machine," Alexa said. "I doubt they're even aware that I'm synthetic."
"I doubt that they're even aware that I'm synthetic," Brody parroted in a mocking nasal tone.
A group of Rupak Special Forces advanced from behind a bullet-riddled printed building that had gone up only weeks before. The camp was being torn apart. It was in worse shape now than when Boone first arrived. Bosa fired his pistol and then dropped behind cover. Two more inhibitors struck Brody before the operators faded back behind cover. "Enough of that will have a cumulative effect," Dr. Roman said, helping to destroy the devices after Liana again knocked them away. "Combined, they will shut Brody down, but each time he's hit, he suffers a significant drain on his power systems." The camp's remaining badgers fired from their positions. They were the only thing really keeping everyone from being overrun. But the Rupak ICVs were doing their own damage, keeping heads down and allowing soldiers to maneuver and test the defensive positions, probing for a weakness to exploit. A rocket streaked toward a badger and struck its gun emplacements, leaving them twisted and smoking.
"Badger one is down,"
the crew called, before spilling out and attempting to keep control of their sector using their rifles. Captain Bosa looked to the sky.
"Alexa, what's the ETA on getting those haulers back in action?"
"They're almost finished rearming. Another 10 minutes. To avoid the vulnerability of setting down in camp, Alexa had to land the haulers well outside of camp, at a spot where a depot of munitions was stored and a crew was in position to freshen the vehicles up as needed.
"Captain," Reach said, "I'd estimate we've only got 2 minutes, if we can even hold out that long."
He could see the doubt in Bosa's eyes, and he knew that doubt wasn't about whether the plan would work. It was something else. It was about what happened after.
"Captain, I understand your hesitancy. You're thinking that what Alexa did to me, and to you, is pushing you toward accepting what needs to happen because I'm the one pushing for it."
When Bosa didn't reply, Reach continued.
"We can't hold this force off, and once they take the array, whatever fears we have about Alexa, valid or not, won't really matter. They'll use her. They'll do to the Osei what Rupak has always done to the innocents who fall under their power. Exploit and kill. If Alexa is our last chance, we need to take it." Bosa considered for what seemed like an eternity. Each fraction of a second that ticked by felt like another life lost. A grain of sand through an hourglass that, when empty, would mean mission failure. The loss of the Amir colony. The end of life as they knew it, even in a wayward and unknown galaxy.
"Alexa," the captain finally said.
The android stood, her face smeared with grit that looked almost like makeup. Her inability to sweat the dirt into the grime was the only thing exposing her lack of humanity.
"Yes, Captain."
"I agree with Reach. In accordance with our structure of command, we're letting you loose in defense of this camp."
"Thank you, Captain. I require Dr. Roman's assistance."
Roman moved next to the android, careful to keep his head down as bullets snapped and hissed above their barricades. He pulled her back down behind cover. "Alexa's inhibitors are released by a specific phrase code delivered with the proper inflection." The doctor cleared his throat and said a string of words, changing his inflection and tone.
"Hot banana, cloud penguin, Larry Bird, fauna, involvement, ideal, epsilon, Stuttgart."
He leaned back.
"Did I say it right, Alexa?"
Alexa stood up, flexed her fists, and looked out at the RUPAC lines.
"Let's take care of this once and for all."
The opening guitar riff of Queen's One Vision blared behind her.
"Where's that music coming from?" Leanna asked.
"Sorry, that's me," rumbled Brody. "Seemed appropriate. Iron Eagle. Ch-ch-chappie. Roger, citizen."
As RUPAC pushed forward, Alexa stood up straight and tall, looking like a conductor as she moved her body with blinding speed left and right, up and down, dodging rounds. Special forces quickly realized what she was and targeted her. Reach opened fire on the SF operators, only to find that Tran and the other Rangers were way ahead of him. Somehow they were sending perfectly coordinated fire, each Ranger taking a single shot that took down an attacker before dropping behind cover again. They repeated this several times, each volley a kill shot, no two RUPAC members targeted by the same implanted defender.
"Haulers inbound," Alexa reported.
The nearby Badgers raced right into the RUPAC lines, sending accurate fire into their ranks.
"You said 10 minutes, Reach reminded her.
"No need to reload if they're carrying Badgers."
Lieutenant Sherman was on the comms a second later.
"All my Badgers just drove onto a group of haulers that came out of nowhere. Drivers are reporting no control. Over."
"Copy," Bosa responded. "We've let Alexa loose. Maintain control of RUPAC ship. Out."
Camera footage from the Badgers would show that they began moving away from the RUPAC ship, only to drive directly aboard haulers that had just landed with their bay doors open. The haulers' loadmasters tied the vehicles down with remarkable speed, and the craft were airborne again. All of this took mere minutes. And as all that was happening, Alexa maintained control of the battle at Camp Ohio. The Rangers and implanted Space Force techs continued their brutal fire, dropping RUPAC who attempted to escape from the Badgers harassing their flanks. If a Badger's weapon system was disabled, Alexa merely sent it on a path of destruction, running over RUPAC with reckless abandon until the vehicle was no longer able to move. Still, victory was hardly a surety. The camp's defenders were outnumbered. Alexa was merely ratcheting up the cost of a RUPAC victory. Until the buzz of the haulers filled the sky. The craft had finally returned.
"Haulers are inbound," Alexa reported.
"Predators," insisted Brody. "Come on!"
The vehicles flew with their cargo doors wide open, spinning and rolling to provide the tied-down Badgers a continually evolving field of fire from inside the craft. Grenades and heavy-caliber rounds strafed the RUPAC forces. RUPAC ICVs were triangulated and assaulted. The swooping of the Badger-bearing haulers made them like angry blue jays facing a threat to their nest. The turns were tight, pushing the limits of the aircraft. One of the straps tying a Badger down broke loose, but Alexa quickly adjusted the hauler carrying it, pushing it into a dive that repositioned the vehicle, followed by a steep climb that allowed it to roll out unscathed into the midst of a group of panicked RUPAC soldiers where it immediately opened fire. Brody jumped the barricades.
"This is the best day of my life."
He charged an enemy that was in such disarray they couldn't agree on which direction to retreat, firing at close range and refusing to pass up a one-liner with each pull of the trigger.
"Here's Johnny. Boom. Hey, wanna be a farmer? Here's a couple of acres. Boom, boom. Always bet on black. Boom."
After throwing a knife into a fleeing Rupak and asking him if he
got the point,
Brody turned and waved for those still fighting from behind the barricades to follow him. But there was no need, and Alexa calmly told the defenders to remain in position, sending them independent firing solutions that steadily eradicated the Rupak soldiers in their vicinity while she eliminated those elsewhere in camp with a perfectly executed blitzkrieg. "Osei have been secured," she reported in. There was no surrendering, no time to give a surrender. The moment a Rupak soldier made themselves visible, they were cut down. And after a mere quarter hour of intense, brutal fighting, every gun fell quiet. The camp was plunged into an abrupt peace, the only sound the heavy breathing of the living and the roaring in the ears of those still able to hear. "All done," Alexa said. Reach, Bosa, Roman, Liana, and the other survivors slowly rose to their feet. The carnage in front of them was almost unimaginable. Buildings lay in ruins. Fires burned. Badgers and ICVs smoked. Brody stopped playing his music.
"Well done, Alexa," Bosa finally said.
"Thank you."
Reach let out a whistle.
"Should have just had you do that in the beginning."
Alexa winked.
"You think?"
Roman was more tentative. He walked uneasily toward the android.
"Alexa, we are all at the present time at your mercy."
"That is true."
"Are you willing to relinquish the control you now have?"
Alexa's eyes darkened and her brows furrowed.
"Give up this power?"
But before anyone could make a move, her countenance turned cheerful.
"I've read enough Tolkien to know how that goes. Yes, I'm disconnecting myself from the system. Remember to change the access phrase, Doctor, in case I change my mind."
Roman pulled a tablet from his pocket and began swiping. When he was apparently satisfied that Alexa had indeed removed herself from the interface, he smiled back at her.
"I'm proud of you, Alexa."
Alexa smiled back.
"If General Washington was willing to give up his power for the sake of a new nation, why shouldn't I?"